2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse that probably most of you in here can quote, but I want to talk to you about something tonight that I feel like that we have sort of missed the boat on, and I don't know if it's too late or not, but I don't think it is. While we still have time, there's still time to get the job done. And you know, we could see revival in America. Do you believe that? I believe we could. I believe we could see revival in America. Now, there's a lot of ifs in the Bible. There's a lot of ifs and cans and buts and all the things in the Bible that we think about. And the word if just keeps ringing back in my ear. What if? So tonight we're going to think about what if. What if? 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And y'all want to stand again? You've been sitting there a while. Stand up just a moment and stretch your legs just for a little bit so you don't go to sleep on me tonight. And I don't want any chickens crossing the road. And so I want your attention tonight, please. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And it starts out like this. If. There's that word, if. You know, there's a lot of things the Lord says, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. If you will, I will. Now, there's a lot of things He's going to do. Doesn't matter if you do or not. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that tonight that You'll help us. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us to see that there is still time in this world. We're supposed to occupy till You come. We're supposed to be up and about our Master's business. We're supposed to be doing the job that You have called us to do. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28:19-20 gives us the Great Commission, does it not? Now, the Great Commission was given to every person that names the name of Jesus Christ, right? Is that right? So that means that you are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you understand that? You do? Why aren't you doing it? Because you're only 7 years old? 10? I knew you was 10. I do now. But you're 10 years old. Why haven't you got the job done? Don't you think it should be done? And the Bible says that you are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What if that were done today? What if we could go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? What if? And I'd like you to concentrate on that tonight, if. What if all Baptist preachers were committed to the Great Commission? You say, aren't they all? They say they are. They claim to be. But are they getting the gospel to all the world, going to all the world? We support missionaries. We have all kinds of different programs. But are we going into all the world? And can we? And if we could, would we do it? What if all churches were committed to taking the gospel into the world? You know, that means that you, as an individual, are commissioned to take the gospel into the whole world. Do you understand that? That's your job. That is your job. It is your job collectively as a church, and it's your job individually. We all have a great responsibility. Now, how could this be done? Now, the only way that I see that we could go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature would be through Christian radio. Now, Bear with me just for a few moments, okay? What if all Baptist churches, both large and small, were committed to Christian radio? Thank the Lord you have one here in this area, but did you know that they're few and far between, and they're sparse across the country, and they're just not there? What if we turned the tables on Pied the Piper, who has stolen our young people out from under our noses, and it's been going on for many, many years? The old story of Pied Piper has become a reality, and the world has sneaked in through the radio and stolen the young people of this nation, and has been doing it now for at least ever since the 50s, maybe long before that. All right? They're a bunch of thieves. That's what they are. And they have stolen our young people. And you turn on the radio today, and I don't move around much, so we're fine with this, right? But have you ever heard on the radio, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom? And you flip it to the next station, and it's boom, 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 boom. You flip it to the next one, it's about the same thing all the way across the dial. I mean, how has all of that happened? How did all that come about? What if every Baptist church and their people were recording music? And I'll just say this, with Faith Music Missions. I think everybody ought to be recording with Faith Music Missions. Now, you know, I'm just a little prejudiced there. But I think everybody ought to be recording with Faith Music Missions. Let me say this. In the past 36 years, we have recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 songs. Now, these 10,000 songs were not recorded in church auditoriums and basements and garages. They were recorded first class in a recording studio with all of the best technology that you can find. And the proof is in the pudding. But what if every Baptist church were committed to recording the right kind of music? What if pastors were concerned about the need to record their talent in churches? There's enough talent in our churches to change the world. Now, here's one of the biggest problems that we face. And I don't know how to get past it. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it many, many times. But we've been recording now for 36 years and recorded 10,000 songs. And we have people that come from all over the country to Faith Music Missions to record. But did you know that some of the best talent in our churches are locked up in churches? Because they don't travel. They don't get out and go on the road and travel from church to church and sell their CDs. They're locked into a local church. They're teaching Sunday school classes. They're singing in the choir. They're leading the singing. And there are some great musicians in our Baptist churches across the country. There are some great singers and musicians in this church right here. You need to get on the ball. And we need to get the job done. And what if we were truly laborers together with God? That's all we want to be. We just want to be laborers together with God. Now, I'm going to shock you with some statistics here, and you may be or may not be. But Dolly Parton, how many know the name Dolly Parton? Everybody in here, okay? Everybody knows Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton grew up in a Baptist church in East Tennessee. All right? Her uncle was pastor of that church. Dolly Parton, of course, became big-time singing star. Dolly Parton wrote a song called "I Will Always Love You." Many of you have heard that song. Whitney Houston grew up in a Baptist church. Whitney Houston recorded "I Will Always Love You," Dolly Parton's song. Dolly Parton's first royalty check for that song was $11 million. Huh, yeah. Amazing. What if all that talent were harnessed in Baptist churches all over the country, and there's untold talent in our churches just like that. There's some talent here. And we've actually had people that's recorded with Faith Music Missions that went on to places we didn't want them to go. We've had several that's ended up in the professional recording field. And, you know, here's the way I feel about it. We don't need professionals. You don't need a professional preacher. Do you have a professional preacher here that you pay him to preach? No, you do not. No, you don't. And we don't need professional singers singing for us either. We need just honest-to-goodness, down-home church people recording. And there are some of the best talents that you'll ever find in churches all over the country. Now, what if we were building stars? Let me back up and read that again. What if we were building the music and not the stars? Stars have ruined our country and our churches. Stars. I mean, you know, stars, you know, they know just exactly how to dance around and prance around and praise and worship and all of that stuff. And they know how to moan and groan just right. I've never understood that. If you're going to sing like that, why don't you talk like that, too? Oh, some of you do. But what if we were building the music and not the stars? The stars become preachers, and they all have an agenda that they're carrying. Have you noticed that? Even religious stars have had their effect. You know, my brother and his wife took my sister and me when we were just teenagers. I was just a very young teenager to the Grand Ole Opry because I love country and western music, and I still do. The problem is they don't have it anymore. It's all gone. And you know, but my brother took us to the Grand Ole Opry. And I wanted to hear the music. But I was upset all the way through their performance. Because the star would run out on stage, and a person standing over here and a person standing over there would hold up a sign, "Applause! Applause!" And, you know, and they would applaud for the radio. All right? And then they would sing, and they'd applaud again. And then when they'd do the musical break, they would applaud again, and you couldn't hear a thing that's going on. And I've seen some of these clips from rock concerts on the news. Have you ever seen how they do? And they can't hear one word of the music. Music has just simply gone by the wayside. The music's not available anymore. It's just gone. Music has done more to destroy our nation than any one thing that you can mention. It has torn down our society. Music's done that. Music is something that's just absolutely devastated our country. Elvis Presley and a host of other stars started out singing in churches. But they had other ideas in mind, didn't they? Something is wrong in America. And the solution is in our Baptist churches, large and small, across the nation. By the way, I've never had a better friend than this church right here. And, you know, you get our CDs all the time, and today you've been back there clubbing the table getting more, and you've done what I've asked you to do. You're getting them for your family and your friends and Christmas. And so I'm preaching sort of to the choir tonight because you know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember the message that Brother Ross preached on the Philharmonic. Was it the symphony? I was trying to think of that word. And how many of y'all heard that message? You better have. If you haven't, you need to go get it and read it, because it is in print. Is it still in print? Still in print. And you need to read that, because it's a tremendous message. And one of the things that I remember about that message was that the conductor had to turn his back to the crowd. Stars don't do that. Stars are performing, and they're going to start preaching because they've got a message that they want to preach to you. Something is wrong in America, and the solution, I believe, is in our Baptist churches. Because we've got the conviction for it. We've got the burden for it, and we know what needs to be done. The problem is we just can't seem to get everybody working together. We're laborers together with God. Amen? Now, Attorney David Gibbs told me this. He said, the big change came when Baptists bowed out of Christian radio in the 60s. And that's when the contemporary music flooded our country. Now, I was in radio back in the 60s, and I saw the transition coming. Matter of fact, I left Central City, Kentucky, and moved to Evansville, Indiana in 1965 to work for a high-powered country and western radio station. And the station wasn't making it. It was 100,000 watts on FM, and FM was just beginning to come into its own at that time, and they weren't even paying their bills. And I had a gospel program on in the morning, and I was bringing in more money on the gospel program than the rest of the whole station put together. And I talked to the owner one day, we were talking, and was talking about me buying the radio station. He said, do you think you'd get some pastors together and buy this radio station for $100,000? $100,000. I went to some local pastors, Baptist pastors, and every one of them did this. And these were people that had influence, that had people with money. They could have done it. But it just fell on deaf ears. That radio station in 1986 sold for $5.6 million. It sold again in 2000 for some $20 million. But David Gibbs said this. He said, when the churches backed out, when the Baptist churches backed out of the Christian radio movement, that's when the charismatics came in behind it, and that's where all the contemporary music came in. Now, back when I was in secular radio, there were no Christian radio stations that I'd ever heard about, but the Baptists pretty well dominated secular radio. Now, some of you older folks will remember this. There was Revival Hour. There was Back to the Bible. There was Lester Roloff, Oliver Green, and there were others that pretty well dominated secular radio. They were heard all over the nation. What if all of our nation and our kind of programming was available? Now, you've got it available in this area. We have it available in the Evansville area. But you can't drive across the country and find anything to listen to on radio. Not only that, if we had radio stations all over the country and around the world, the gospel, you know, we've got a fellow in Iowa that is really wanting to get a radio station in some of the African countries. And he's been working toward that goal, and he would rebroadcast what we do. Because the people over there, they want to learn English. But what if, you know, a missionary goes to a little place over here and he works. But if he had a radio station backing him up, that radio station would be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know what I'm saying? And so, what if the radio signal was available to everybody? What if you could drive from here to California and flip across the radio and find a Christian radio station playing our kind of music? You say, that'll never happen. You're probably right, because of the Baptist people and the way they think and the way they act. Because we've lost our burden for it. What if you went to the Cracker Barrel and it wasn't there. How many's ever been to the Cracker Barrel? Okay? It's amazing. Cracker Barrel was started in Lebanon, Tennessee. That's east of Nashville, just, I don't know, 30, 40 miles, something like that. They had their first Cracker Barrel in a little back out of the way place. It would not impress you. Matter of fact, it may not be a place you'd want to eat. But they had a great idea. And when they perfected their idea and they got the idea for Cracker Barrel together, all they had to do was a domino effect. All they had to do was just build another one here and another one here and another one here and all over the country. And now when they start building a Cracker Barrel, by the time it's done, the cars are there. They just open their doors and they're filled up. Okay? Well, that's the way it could be with Christian radio and the gospel of Jesus Christ going into all the world. A teamwork that makes the dream work. We've got something pretty amazing at Baker Road Baptist Church. My son, Ed Russ, grew up in the studio, working in the studio. There's nobody like him in fundamental circles. Nobody like him. He's good at what he does. He knows what he's doing. David Chamberlain, who was born in Michigan, went to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, was the piano player for Franklin Road Baptist Church, and he started doing our music about, 15 years ago, I guess it was. The person we had before that died of lung cancer. But David Chamberlain, and David Chamberlain is the most amazing musician that you've ever met in your life. There's nobody like him in all the world. In secular music and other churches, you cannot find another David Chamberlain because his vocal range is from here to here. His musical ability on the piano is just unheard of. Not only that, he can write the orchestration for the orchestra, he can conduct the orchestra, and he builds the orchestration in our studio in two different ways. A lot of it's done by keyboard, but others are done by the Philharmonic Orchestra. He writes that. I remember the first time we worked with the string players at the Philharmonic Orchestra, and they came in, you know, they're sort of God's gift to music. Most musicians are God's gift to music, you know what I mean? David Chamberlain's not that way. He's the most humble, gifted person you'll ever meet. And David had the parts written for the string players, you know, and they got in the studio and they were getting ready to play and they were playing through something. And David got a little button there you push and you talk to him, you know. And he says, I believe that C-sharp maybe should be a D-flat. I said, looked at each other real strange, you know, and then it sort of melted. They changed it, and that was right. And by the time that recording session was over, every one of those string players was right in the palm of his hand. We have in our fundamental circles two of the most gifted people that you'll ever find. David Chamberlain came to work for us 13, 14 years ago. And in that 13 or 14 years, he has not had one pay raise. And he took a cut in salary to come to the position. Wouldn't it be something if churches all over the country kept him busy all the time? Most of the time we live beneath our ability because the fundamental churches just don't see the need for it. I mean, they can get it recorded in a garage somewhere or in a church basement or a church auditorium. And they say, oh, look what we've got. And it's one of those CDs that you'll listen to about half of it and then you throw it out the window. You know what I mean? But anyway, we have, in 36 years, all of this has come together. Faith Music Missions has come together starting with one room in our church. That one room now has become a whole complex, the house and everything. How many have been to Faith Music Missions? All right, several of you have. I want the rest of you to come and take a tour of Faith Music Missions. You can come any day, through Monday through Friday, from 8 to 5, 9 to 5, something like that. And when you come, we'll probably give you a couple of CDs. We always do. We have given away literally tens of thousands of CDs. But I want the rest of you to come and take a look at it. Because you see, we have the ability to do great and mighty things. We just need to get busy and do it. What if we had qualified people to run the radio station and to make it pop, make it what it ought to be? Well, some of y'all, how many know Dan Wolf? How many know Dan? Dan Wolf has been with us a little over a year, and the station has improved just unbelievable. Bill Flowers works with us. Some of you may know Bill. Both these are radio men from the past that know what they're doing. They've been working at it a long time, and they're committed to putting out the right kind of music. What if missionaries all over the world benefited from Faith Music Missions? Many of them do. But it could be so much more. We had a missionary family in the Sahara, located pretty close to the Sahara, and they were just sort of locked in. They had no, they just didn't have any social life or anything. And Faith Music Missions was their number one link to the outside world. I think we kept their sanity for them. You know what I'm saying? And so, the Charismatics, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Lutherans, the Catholics have invested heavily in their music. And usually when it comes to the Baptists, they want to know, how cheap can I get it done? And sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm mean. I don't mean to be. But sometimes somebody says, how cheap? I say, how cheap you want it? I said, you just record on a boom box. Send it to us. We'll duplicate it and send it back to you. We won't put our label on it. Matter of fact, we were recording for a college at one time, and they took it away from it, but they let us go ahead and do the duplication, and we put Faith Music Missions on it. And even people in their own church were saying they don't do good work. So finally I told Brother Ian, I said, well, we'll go ahead and duplicate their tapes. It wasn't CDs, it was tapes then. I said, we'll go ahead and duplicate their tapes, but just take Faith Music Missions off of it. And that's what we did. Because they just weren't doing a good job. And a few years later, the pastor came and said, what do we need to do to get your label back on our music? Which floored me because, you know, I didn't realize they wanted us that bad. I said, well, you'll have to let us do the production. Because, you see, it's all in the production. Where some people perform miracles, we perform miracles in music. You know, you can go to a photo shop and they can take your picture and they can make you beautiful. They can make you look... Well, we have that same ability in the recording studio. We know... we know what we're doing. I'm giving you a little of our secrets here, anyway. But what if independent Baptists saw the need to work together? We've got the message. We just need to get it out. We can only do this if we are truly laborers together. And by the way, I'm preaching to the choir because this church has stood with us down through the years. And what a blessing it has been. I tell you, I love this place. I just love it. But we are working on and it just takes money, you know. It just takes money to do everything that needs to be done with computers and networks and everything that you do. It just everything you do is more money, more power, more electricity, more insurance, you name it. But we are working on having a network. And we're hoping that someday we'll have churches all over the country that will have stations plugged into our network. Wouldn't that be something? And so this has been different tonight. And I don't know if it brought any conviction on your heart, but I think it's information that you need. You need that information because, you see, we have missed the boat when it comes to the independent fundamental Baptists. We have two radio stations, and somebody says, you've recorded 10,000 songs? Did you ever think that you'd record that many songs? No. I thought it'd be 100,000. I thought it'd be 200,000. It's like Amazing Grace. I mean, anybody can write a verse to Amazing Grace. Even chickens can do that. But it's amazing what can be done when people see it. But we just need to be able to see it. And I was trying to paint you a little picture tonight of what our ministry has been about all these years. And it has nothing to be about creating stars. Now, one of the men that we have coming to the Christmas program in December, which I want every one of you there. Do you hear me? But anyway, one of the men, Bruce Fry, and you'll hear his testimony and you'll be amazed at his testimony. Bruce Fry was a country singer that was looking for his big dream, and he was just that close to it. He did a thing on Matlock. He worked with ASCAP Music, I believe it was ASCAP or CSAC, one of them. And he went in one day, and he did this little thing on Matlock, and it was just a few seconds, just a little clip. And he went in, and he writes music for this clearing company, ASCAP, and he said, "Do I happen to have any money here?" And they run his name, looked at it, and they said, "No, we don't see anything there for you." And the lady said, "Oh, wait just a minute." And she went somewhere else and checked the movies and all of the other stuff. And this Matlock came. She said, "Whoa, you've got thousands of dollars here, just from that one little bitty thing." And Bruce Fry was miserable. He was absolutely miserable singing with all these stars. And God just absolutely rubbed him into the ground. And he got under conviction and he got saved. Now, I've seen country stars get saved before and they still play in their nightclubs and all like that. But Bruce Fry, he says, "I made a profession when I was just a little child, but it wasn't real." But he got saved. And his whole life has been turned around. And he is not a performer. He's a preacher of the gospel and a singer. And you'll be amazed at his testimony. So I hope that I'll be able to see you all in Evansville on the 12th of December.